Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, with my co-host, Tim Bench, from the state of Texas, Glenn McMillian, from the state of Texas, Courtney Carruthers, from the state of Illinois, Steve Carter, from the state of Florida, Patrick L. Medlock, from the state of Florida, Willie Williams III, from the state of Texas, Clay Phillips, from the state of Georgia, and Brian Christian Coleman, from the state of New Jersey. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful that you are tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, ButlerSteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. If you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you would be with my co-hosts on the show this evening as they break unto us the bread of life. We pray that you would bless them and their families that support their efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners who are listening to this radio show through Blog Talk Radio and through social media, Facebook. We pray that they may listen well, and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you forgive us for the transgressions we've committed in our own minds and in our hearts and our bodies. We pray, we know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you will save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast this evening. Our speakers for the show this evening will be in the first segment, my co-host, Clay Phillips. He serves as the evangelist with the Rose City Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. And then in the second segment, I have a question from my shouted out platform on social media, Facebook. And my co-host, Brian Christian Coleman, he serves with the Newark Church of Christ there in Newark, New Jersey. He'll be answering our question for the show this evening. And then in the last segment, to close out the show, my co-host Tim Bench, he serves with the Oham Lane Church of Christ there in Abilene, Texas. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Clay Phillips. Enjoy the show.
Everybody talking about health, it ain't going there. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going there. Oh, my Lord. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going there. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going there. Oh, my Lord. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going there. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going. Everybody talking about health, it ain't going there. Oh, my Lord.
Well, I run about the streets of gold, and I run about.
Now, my co-host, Clay Phillips, and his subject, The Need for the Bible.
Good evening. I am Brother Clay Phillips again, those just tuning in, a minister of the Rosary Church of Christ in Thomasville, Georgia, located at 20785 Highway 19 North in Thomasville, Georgia. We'd like to encourage you to come and worship with us at any Church of Christ that is in your area. I'd like to thank Brother Steve Butler for the marvelous job he's doing in getting the gospel out, the opportunity for the churches of Christ throughout the brotherhood to speak and teach the word of God. My subject is the need for the Bible, the need for the Bible. Unless taught, the generation today will never have the Bible. They will always be ignorant of the Bible. We cannot assume, listen to me now, we cannot assume that the kids today are automatically going to read the Bible, believe the Bible, accept the Bible as we did when we was coming up. And so the Bible is imperative that we understand the Word of God must be taught. It must be taught. Jesus told the disciples to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now we'll read two scriptures, then we get into our lesson. Psalm chapter 40. I want to read verse 6, 7, and 8. And then we'll look at the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through verse 7. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears have thine opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings have thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. And then I turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 5. The Bible says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, talking about Christ, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast not no pleasure in. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. The need for the word of God. Now, when we go back to the Old Testament in Psalms chapter 40, we notice that David recognized that there was a need for the Bible because David experienced some terrible things, if you will, about his own family, his own son. You remember Absalom, his own son, wanted to kill him. David had ignored and teaching the law to his own family. And oftentimes, we always heard the saying, the preacher kid. Most of the times, when children are bad, we talk about preacher kids. And then sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not. I was just blessed to have some beautiful kids and grandchildren growing up now. And so, but it's my responsibility as a grandfather and as a father and to make sure that my family understand the value of the Word of God and the need for the Word of God. Now, there are two things in the book of Psalms, chapter 40 here. Psalms, chapter 40, verse 1 through verse 17. There are two things that David recognized when he understood that he had neglected to teach his family the Word of God. And so there are two things that he recognized here. Number one, he says, I'm going to give thanks unto God. I'm going to give thanks unto God. What are you giving thanks for? To have the Word of God. He said, David is telling us, from verse 1 through verse 10, he's going to tell us why he's so thankful to have the Word of God. We ought to be thankful, for the Word of God is the breath of God. It breathes. It is alive. And so it is a privilege to be able to read and to have the Bible. And so then he tells us how thankful he is to have to go back and reference the Word of God. For he recognized that God come in the volume of the book. Then from verse number 11 to verse 17, he's going to talk about the lamentation, his petition to God, his plea to God to help him be delivered from his enemy. Because when you start preaching and teaching the word of God, the devil becomes your enemy. When you start, and that's what the devil prey on. He prey on our kids. He prey on those that are lacking, those that do not study the word. Remember Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. So now let us look, if you will, at the exegesis of Psalms chapter 40. And then, if the Lord's will, let me get a chance, we'll go to the book of Hebrews, where the author talk about Christ said, I come in the volume of the book. First of all, we have here that verse 1. Now, remember now, there are two things. Write this down. Roman number 1 is David is thankful for having the word of God. And then in verse 11 through verse 17, David is lamoring over petition that God actually delivered him. For real? For real? Yes. So the word of God, when you study the Bible, that's how God recognizes us. When we study the Bible and read the Bible and apply the Bible to our heart, that's how we come in contact with God. That's what God come in contact with us, through his word. How do you come? He said, I come in the volume of the book. So now in verse 1 of Psalms chapter 40, he says, I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and I heard my cry. So he said, now notice here, he says, the word of God, you got to wait patiently. So when you read the Bible, the Bible is a seed. And so when you plant the seed, you don't go looking the next day that it come up. You have to read the Bible, study the Bible. It takes years. I've been preaching now 45 years, going on 46 years. 45 years I've been preaching. 45 years. And I'm still learning and still understand the need for the Bible. The Bible says none of us know as we ought to know. So that's why it should behoove us to make sure that we wait patiently for the Lord. So David said, I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. In other words, David said, I want you to understand, I was going through this, I didn't teach my children, Absalom tried to kill me, ran me away, and I ran from Saul, I did all this stuff, he said, I want you to understand. In verse 2, he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And so here, he's not even telling his experience about the word of God. When God came to him, now he's telling us about his experience of the word of God. He said, I'm thankful. Why? Because the word of God did something for me. Why is it necessary to have the word of God? Because the word of God, David said, did something for me. Verse 2, he says, it brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the mire clay. Listen to him now. Listen to David. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, my stepping, my direction. He said, the word of God is so powerful. He said, I ignored it. I should have stayed with it. He says, and that's why David is called. Now, notice that. That's why David is called the man after God's own heart. What do you mean by that? It didn't say out of God on heart. It said, man, after God on heart. I want to know what God is doing. I want to know what God is saying to me. I want to know what God. And he recognized that, listen, for me to know, God told me that he come in the volume of the book. If I want to know God, I got to go to the Bible. If I want to know the word of God, I got to go to the Bible. If I want to know what God wants for me, I got to go to the Bible. I got to go to the word of God. So he says in verse 2, I want you to understand now. He says, the word of God brought me out of a hollow pit and out of the marrow clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. In other words, the word of God set me straight. And so when you come to the church house and the church building and worship with God, you come to look and seek the word of God, because it is the word of God that sets you straight. And then verse 3 says, and he have put a new song. Look at him now. Look at him. Look at him. I love this. And he have put a new song in my mouth. When you come and hear the word of God, it should put a new song in your mouth. David said, I want you to understand. The word of God put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our Lord God. many shall see it, in other words, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Don't you know that when you teach the word of God and live the word of God, and when you go through the pit, when you go through some horrible times and difficult days, you've got to go through some trials. To have a testimony, you've got to go through a test. And to go through a test, you've got to have some horrible days. David said, I went through some horrible pits, marrow of clay. My feet, he put my feet on a rock, and I was slipping all kind of ways here. He said, he established my going, the direction. He established my direction. And when he done that, in verse 3, he says, and he had put a new song in my mouth. Look at it. He says, he put a new song in my mouth. Now I can sing a new song. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Trouble in my way. I had to cry sometimes. God bless me. And so now when God put a new song in your mouth. And so when you come to the word of God will put a new direction. Pull you out of the miry clay. Pull you out of the pit. The word of God will give you that. And then I like what the word of God says here. He said, David said now, he says, it'll give you praise. It'll give you praise of him, God. You can't do nothing but praise God. It says, many shall see it. And folks will recognize there's a change in you. When you change your life, your neighbor will recognize there's a change in you. Your friends will recognize. When you go to work, they'll recognize there's a change in you. When you go to the grocery store, when you had a frown and when you were looking sad, but now you've got a change in your heart. You got a new song. You're singing a new song now, if you will. He said, and folk will see it. He said, and fear shall trust in the Lord. And they shall fear and they shall trust in the Lord. They shall fear and trust in the Lord. And what do you mean by fear and trust in the Lord? Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Your life, see, sometimes God make us go through certain things to make people recognize us, that I'm a child of God. God called me. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm living by the word of God. I slip sometimes. I fall, but you are in fear because God says, he said, David said, I want you to understand, you are in fear because fear is the beginning of wisdom. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. He said, not only are they going to fear, they're going to trust in the Lord. That's why that folks said, where you go to church at? Where you worship God at? Who your preacher? Where you going? Because see, one thing that folks know at Rose City, their preachers struggle like they struggle. I'm not any better than anybody else. I need the word of God in my life just as much as you do. That's why I read it every day. Then David goes and says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the pride. In other words, don't quit trying to give the pride the respect you ought to give God. Quit worrying about those proud folks out there. Why you going to church there? Why you the thought chain? You don't want to hang out with them? No. He says, nor such as turn aside to lie. See, when you start changing life, understand me. Now, listen to this. When you start changing your life, the devil is going to get busy. What he's going to do, he's going to come after you. If you are smoking, you try to quit smoking. Boy, I never smoked in my life, so I'm not struggling with that. But I do have some struggles that I struggle with. We all have an issue. And so here, if a person is on drugs and the devil will throw drugs at you, whatever it is, if you pornography, the devil will throw it at you. So whatever it is, the devil will throw it at you. And so here, the Bible says, he said, they'll start lying on you. He ain't nothing to him. I remember when he used to do this. I remember this. I'm glad you said you remember, because that means that the person have changed or changing their life. In verse 5, it says, many, O Lord, my God, many, I like this, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. In other words, David said, God have done some good things for me. And I don't know about y'all. And I hear folks say all the time, God is good all the time, all the time, God is good. David is saying, you have done some wonderful things in my life. That's why I need the word of God. And thy thoughts, which are to upward, notice what I said, to upward, they cannot be reckoned up. In other words, he said, all the things that you've done, I try to count it. Let me see now. You remember when I lost that job and God blessed me with another job? You remember when this happened to me and God blessed me with this? And you remember, he said, I can't count them all. God's been too good to me. All I need you to know is you need the word of God. This is what David said. David said, he said, I can't reckon it up. I can't call it up. I would declare and speak of them. They are more than I can number. He said, too much. God has been so good to me, I can't even number it. I can't talk. I can't even say, well, let me count it up. There's one this and one nothing. I can't do it. Then the verse 6 says, he says, sacrifice an offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears has thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou has not required. Now, but you're going to love this here. Now, listen to this. He said, my ears have been opened. He said, when I start coming to worship and being sincere, when I really start coming to worship and being sincere, when I really came to worship and really wanted the word of God and knew I needed the word of God, David said, he said, I want to understand. He said, my ears have thou opened. In other words, what he's saying there, and Jesus is saying, I finally got it. I finally got it. And you know, I can tell when people come to worship service and sit in this audience, and I can tell when they finally got it. See, the folks that they're doing all the playing with the babies and playing with their cell phones and looking all around and trying to find a handkerchief for this and that and doing all that, you know, they haven't got it. But notice David said, he says, I finally got it. I finally understood. Now, he says, sacrifice and offering thou does not desire. And then God said, I don't care nothing about other sacrifice and offering. I don't care nothing about you can sing real good. You can preach real good. Or you took the communion that Sunday. Or you gave your 10%. He said, I know, I understand that. He said, my ears have been opened. God opened my ears. Burnt offering and sin offerings thou has not required. He said, when you come, yes, we got to worship God, do things decent in order, the items of worship, we must do that. But he says in verse number 17, he said, now the reason why you are here, he said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. He said, the real reason you ought to come, because you come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. The reason why you come is because you understand the necessity of the Bible. He said, I delight, verse 8, I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God, yea, thy law is upon my heart. It's in my heart. It's in my heart. It's not about singing and you know, I do the best I can. It's not about giving. I give a little bit more than 10%. It's not about the communion and all that stuff. Well, all that got to be done. But when you, the ultimate thing is the Bible, the Word of God, the preaching. Listen, calling, having a song fest, that's fine. But that's not going to change people's lives. What changes people's lives is the Word of God. Can you hear me? And your ears open it. He says in verse number 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. What do you do? What changed your life? Preaching. Lord Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be answered in season, out of season. He said, I have preached righteousness to the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. In other words, I didn't just read the Bible, study the Bible, come in my office and just get it all by myself. He said, I have declared your faithfulness, that God says, if I tell you something, the word, if you speak this word. Now, if I tell you my word, then you might not be good. But God said, mankind slack concerning their promise, but the Bible will not be slack. He says, faithfulness and thy salvation I have not concealed, thy loving kindness, thy truthfulness. In verse 11, he says, Wherewith holdest thou? So now we find and understand the thankfulness of having the Bible. We ought to be very thankful that God has given us his word. I don't have to guess about it. I don't have to wonder about it. I know what God wants from me. I know what the Lord wants out of me. I don't have to guess about it. I don't have to wonder about it. I know what the God wants. Now, then David gives the lamentation. In other words, when you really truly get the word of God, it will pull some out of you. It'll make you know that you ain't all that. Hello? Verse 11. Withhold not thou tender mercy from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continue to preserve me. I love this. See, it is the word of God that preserved me. Have you ever known, went through some stuff and you said, now, it had not been for the Lord. That's what David said. David said, it had not been for the Lord, I'd have been dead, sleeping in my grave. He said, if it had not been for the Lord preserving me, because I've done some things that is not right. I murdered a man for his wife. I committed adultery. I lied. I did all kind of stuff. But it was because of God's tender mercy. Verse 12 says, for innumerable evil have compassed me about. He says, I've done a lot of evil. He says, my iniquity. Now, see, the word of God, what it does is point out your iniquity. He said, I've done a lot of evil things. He said, innumerable. I can't even count the evil I've done. Have compassion upon my heart. He says, my iniquity have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. He says, my sin is so innumerable and so many, I can't even look up. Then he explained how it is. He said, they are more than the hairs of my head. Now, that's a lot of sin. Hello? That's a lot of sin. More than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. In other words, if I'm going to serve God because of my heart, it faileth me. In other words, my heart, the heart is not the heart that pumps blood, the heart of the man. The Bible teaches us, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And so the heart that is talking about here, David is talking about, he said, my heart is telling me, I can't even look up to God. Let me read that verse again, verse 12. He says, for innumerable evil have compassed me about. I've done it. I'll own up to it. I've done it. My iniquity have taken hold upon me. He said, and I'm grieving. Every time I hear the word of God, every time I hear the preacher preaching the word of God. And a lot of folks understand, the preacher grieved as well. When I'm preaching the word of God, I grieve for my sin, I grieve that I got to say this to you. Let me say it again. My grief as a minister, oftentimes, is when I read the Bible, I got to say this, Lord. Preach the word. But Lord, do I really have to say this? Play. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but of their own lust. Say he to himself, teachers have an itch in ears, and they just tell them what it is of the truth. But do I have to say this? Yes, you got to say that, Clay. So he says, it was so terrible. He said, I am not able to look up. And Jesus gave a very powerful illustration on that. And let me read that, and I'm about to stop because my time is almost up. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. Luke chapter 18 and the verse is number 9. Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus gave a parable about a Pharisee and a publican. and they came to worship, that understood that they had to come to worship the word of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of thyself together as the manner of some is. The word of God. He says in verse number 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Now, the word of God does not teach us to despise others. It teaches us that we all, Paul said, listen, I'm a wretched man that I am. When you read the Bible, it should tell you that your sins are innumerable, that your evil compass you. And so when I read the Bible, when I'm in my office studying, when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm standing up and preaching the word of God, I ask God to forgive me every time I stand and preach the Bible. When I start preaching today, I ask God to forgive me. And so Jesus said, listen, there's a publican and there is, there's a Democrat and there's a Republican. But there's a, there's a Pharisee and there's a public. It says in verse number 2, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other, notice that, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood, prayed thus with himself. That boy would listen to his own prayer. In other words, you know how we do, when we start praying, we want to hear our own self. We want to sound good to ourselves. He says, God, get to him, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I can hear him saying that. Extortioners. Now, he would call other folks extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. He looked up there and pointed at this man. Pointed at him. And there are folks that when you come to the worship service, there are people that look at you all cross-eyed. Don't worry about them. Let me finish. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give 10% of all of my possession. Then it says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto the heaven. That's what David felt. David felt like this publican, that I can't even lift up my eyes to heaven. And the Bible said, he said, I can't lift up my eyes to heaven. And notice what it said there, but smoke upon his breast. Oh, Lord, I know I need to pray to you, but I can't look up. Ooh, Lord, will you help my son, Lord. Ooh, Lord, will you help my husband, Lord. Ooh, Lord, he going to say, Lord, will you help my cousin? And the Bible says, God, be merciful to me, a son, even me, God, be merciful. I tell you, now this is what Jesus said. Jesus, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. And I'm going to finish the lesson on next time. I'm your speaker, Brother Clay Phillips. Remember this, keep it real.
Is your congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665. Or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact me at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send your emails to butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. The Deep River Church of Christ in High Point, North Carolina, is seeking a full-time evangelist. The ideal candidate will be outreach-focused with a desire to win souls and has a keen ability to appeal well to a cross-cultural audience. For a copy of the full job description, visit the homepage of their website at www.deepriverchurchofchrist.org. To apply, send a resume, a cover letter, and free professional references to deeprivercoc@triad.com. On November the 9th through the 15th, 2019, there'll be a 42nd annual homecoming at the Northside Church of Christ. And that address is 4736 Avenue B, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. For more information, please call 904-765-9830 or visit their website at www.nscocjax.com. On November the 17th through the 20th, 2019, there'll be a Fall Gospel meeting at the Metro Church of Christ. And that address is 5565 Mullard Road, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46254. For more information, please call 317-347-8790. On November the 10th, 2019, there'll be a homecoming at the Inner City Church of Christ at 309 Seminole Drive, Southwest Huntsville, Alabama, 35805. For more information, please call 256-539-0712. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of every month, we have a special edition show for the Gospel Light Radio Show. And this show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then on Tuesday each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting the live show, What a Word from the Lord Radio Show. And each week on that radio show, we have guest speakers from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. We also have a Community Corner segment, and that segment's for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our communities. Also, my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York, and Mark Skelton from Indianapolis, Indiana, will be making their presentation of the Gospel of Christ as well. And then on Thursday night, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show, and I have eight co-hosts on this radio show who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week I have two of my co-hosts on the air. And also I'm taking questions from my shouted out platform on social media, Facebook, that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts. And then on Friday night each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And on that show, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists. We're also interviewing these artists in my Story Glory segment once a month. And the next scheduled Story Glory segment we have is on November the 1st, where I'll be interviewing Tyrone Monsembia from South Africa. And also, we are debuting new music on the show and featuring old music. I'm also doing the Top 20 Countdown Show. The next scheduled Top 20 Countdown Show will be on November the 15th. I'll be counting down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of November. We're also doing once a quarter, we're doing the marathon show. That shows for whatever artist or group that we're featuring for the entire show. We just finished one on last Friday night. That show was featuring Durant from Nashville, Tennessee. And my on-demand episodes, you can listen to all of my on-demand episodes through my affiliate internet stations on Spotify, on iHeartRadio, on Apple iTunes, on acaradio.net, on iWay Radio, on mccbroadcasting.com, on ivcbroadcasting.com, on Deezer, and also World of Acapella. You can also go to YouTube or go to my YouTube channel, see Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B, and also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and go to their playlist and see Acapella Radio. Also like to thank my sponsors for sponsoring these radio shows. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois, and her company is called Organo. Their slogan is a health product for healthier living. And my sponsor, Bethesda Memorial Funeral Directory Crematory Services out of DeSoto, Texas. and my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of A Touch of Class Apparel out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And my sponsor, CJ Colson, she's with Euthurban Health Institute, and she lives in Monument, Colorado. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas. And the owner is Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And my sponsor, Cheryl Marat, she lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's with Compassionate Haiti Leaders, and she's been serving Northern Haiti for over 20-plus years, and they invite you to become a part of something greater than yourselves. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.CompassionateHaitiLeader.faith. And also my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She's from Nashville, Tennessee. The three E's of Stevie B's media production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in a study of God's Word. And that will end my program announcement. You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we will not have a shout-out question on the show this evening, so we'll go right into our last segment of the show with my co-host Tim Bench, and his subject is the cost of being a Christian.
Good evening. As Stevie Butler mentioned, my name is Tim Bench, and I'm calling in tonight from Abilene, Texas, and wherever you may be listening from this evening, we certainly want to welcome you to our show. We know that we have visitors across the United States and also outside the United States, so we are certainly honored and pleased that you have chosen to join us this evening. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and we are going to begin our lesson this evening reading from verses 57 and 58. Starting in Luke chapter 9, verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Continuing in verse 59, he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." These verses provide one of the foundations of Christianity, and yet it's largely ignored by today's society and most of today's churches. Jesus emphasizes here how few material possessions and how few material comforts that he has, less, in fact, than wild animals. He who would follow Jesus is well advised to consider how little rest and luxury that he or she can expect. Jesus painted no rosy picture of what following him would entail, with no glamorized version of what the trials and tribulations would be, unlike many preachers of today, such as Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, etc. We can all think of many examples who paint a very rosy, comfortable picture of what being a Christian actually is. But we know differently. The Christian must follow Jesus without reservation, following Jesus with complete and total devotion. Complete and total dedication and subservience will require of the follower to put worldly things away, to put away materialism, and to put away sinful interests, and to put away barriers and stumbling blocks and comforts and distractions, to put away anything which separates us from our service to God. Our dedication to service to God is to supersede any facet of our lives, including, as we've seen in these verses, even our own families. Often, these demands prove to be too much to sacrifice for many people, and they end up falling away or becoming apathetic, lukewarm Christians. This is a citation from the Son of Man, a verse-by-verse commentary on the Gospel according to Luke by John R. Rice, quote, "If one would follow Jesus, he must be willing to be poor, to lack some comforts. Do not seek to follow Jesus without counting the cost. A man would follow Jesus, Luke 9, verse 60, but only after his father died, and after he should take part in the traditional burial, and, we suppose, the settling of the estate. Jesus did not allow that. To serve him supersedes all other ties and loyalties. To serve Jesus does not make for dishonor to parents, but others can care for the man and bury him. Keeping people out of hell is far more important," end quote. A Christian is to be completely and totally entrusting with his temporal, physical life as well as his eternal soul to Jesus. Not mostly, not most of the time, not when it's convenient, and not 99%. Careful deliberation is a prerequisite to faithfulness. Let the person who requests baptism into Christ choose you this day who you will serve, Joshua 24, verse 15, and let him take the initial step, convinced that it is better, according to Hebrews 11, verse 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. From Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest, happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, and was not able to finish. From Basic Christianity by John Stott, quote, "The Christian landscape is strewn with the wreckage of derelict half-built towers, the ruins of those who began to build and were unable to finish. For thousands of people still ignore Christ's warning and undertake to follow him without first pausing to reflect on the cost of doing so. The result is the great scandal of Christendom today, so-called nominal Christianity. In countries to which Christian civilization has spread, large numbers of people have covered themselves with a decent but thin veneer of Christianity. They have allowed themselves to become somewhat involved, enough to be respectable. Their religion is a great soft cushion. It protects them from the hard unpleasantness of life while changing its place and shape to suit their convenience. No wonder the cynics speak of hypocrites in the church and dismiss religion as escapism," end quote. Apathy, worldliness, drifting in the church, all of these are adjectives used today, and these are pulpit policies for many that fail to emphasize the true cost of being a Christian. Too many are being immersed who have not given due consideration to the inherent sacrifices and trials involved, and who are therefore half-hearted and worldly. Too many will fall away timidly when the path becomes difficult or challenging. When these are called upon to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, Romans 12, verse 1, or to examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, or earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, Jude 8, and to be ready for every good work, Titus chapter 3, verse 1, they find the cost greater than they are willing to pay. Instead of growing, these nominal Christians become weaker, and the church in many cases drifts along with them rather than to exercise discipline. Both the Christian and the church fall into apathy. But others, having seen the line of demarcation, so to speak, between the church and the world so clearly drawn, between that which is holy and that which is unholy, and having weighed the matter carefully, obey the gospel and overcome the world daily. These people follow the admonitions of Paul, who writes in Romans 8, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. From Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 27 and verse 33, Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." From Table Talk of Jesus by R.M. Edgar, quote, "When Christianity is assailing a false faith, as in the first century, as in heathen lands today, it very frequently happens that disciples have to choose between their attachment to the earthly parent and their obligations to Christ. Then the words of Jesus Christ have a literal application. Then the convert has to pass through the most severe and trying of all conflicts. He has to weigh one authority against another. He has to make a decision which will cause grief and wrath to one whom he would fain please and honor. But much as the human parent may have been to him, and strong as are his claims, the divine Redeemer is more, and his claims are stronger still, and stronger far," end quote. There are certainly more verses which echo the absolute prerequisite of complete and total devotion to Jesus Christ throughout the New Testament. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. John chapter 12, verse 25. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. From these scriptures and others, we are sure that Christianity requires self-denial. The Christian must renounce the will of self in favor of the divine will. A Christian must overcome the world and overcome the temptations of this world, and this requires self-control. James makes this clear in James chapter 1, verse 14, where he says that man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. John writes in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Then to overcome the world, we must control both the lust of the flesh, we must control the lust of the eyes, and we must control the pride of life. And to do this is to overcome temptation. And when this is done in favor of the divine will, not our will, then self-denial is finally practiced. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. This is the duty of every Christian. But there is no virtue in self-denial as such. Jesus says, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. It is for my sake, Jesus' sake, that we are to lose our life, practices self-denial. Again, self-denial is something that we need to practice and apply, but again, this is to serve Jesus. This is to serve God, not to serve ourselves. The self-denial required of a Christian is in consequence of following Christ. Stephen's death, for example, in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60, was obviously an acceptable sacrifice, but the Lord's delight was in Stephen's loyalty, not for the suffering that Stephen endured. It's not necessarily a requirement that the Christian be denied of all things pleasing to himself, but that that Christian be loyal to the will of Christ at the expense of anything else if needed. If family unity can be maintained without disloyalty to Christ, it's acceptable and a thing to be desired, but it is required that we sacrifice this pleasant relationship if it cannot be maintained without disloyalty to him. This conflict, if you will, necessitates a divine standard. If we are to choose between the will of self and the will of Christ, we must then discern his will. Well, what then is the divine will? The Lord has revealed to men an all-sufficient embodiment of divine truth, which is to serve as a standard of life. Worship of truth is called the faith in Jude 3. It is called the gospel in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's called the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1, verse 25. And it's called the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. The author of this divine message requires no more and no less of us than loyalty from the heart to this standard. He asks us to make no sacrifice that this does not require, but he demands that we make every sacrifice that it does require. To accept the consequences of loyalty to the gospel message, the written New Testament, is to pay the required cost of being a Christian. Obviously, this is voluntary service. We can choose to follow Jesus Christ. We can choose not to follow Jesus Christ. We can choose to accept the validity and truth and inerrancy of the Bible. We can choose to reject it. There are burdens of life that none of us can avoid, but the Christian has a cross to take up, so to speak, or to ignore. If there is a family relationship or a financial or political or social advantage or any other interest of self that cannot be enjoyed without disloyalty to the divine standard and disloyalty to the divine law, he is asked but not compelled to sacrifice this interest in favor of Christ's will. And as we have seen, oftentimes that cost is simply more than so-called Christians are willing to pay. The Holy Scriptures abound in examples of self-denial in favor of divine law. Let's look at a few examples this evening. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 27, Micaiah refused to pervert God's message to Ahab, even when loyalty brought about imprisonment and the bread and water of affliction. A famous story that most all of us are familiar with from Daniel chapter 3, verse 21, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego accepted the fiery furnace rather than the worship of Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. From Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel defied the king's injunction forbidding the worship of the true God for a season, knowing full well what the punishment would be, knowing that he would be cast into a den of lions, but yet he still chose to follow God. I'm jumping ahead there. John the Baptist told Herod the truth about his marriage, even though it cost him his life. Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded for preaching the truth. For truth's sake, Paul was expelled from Antioch. He was stoned. He was left for dead at Lystra. He was whipped and imprisoned later. He was subjected to mob violence in Jerusalem. And according to church legend, he was beheaded at Rome. And yet, that we might have salvation, Jesus was crucified. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. These are just a handful of examples from both the Old Testament and the New Testament of those who had a choice. They came to a crossroads, if you will. They could take the path of least resistance. They could follow the will of their father. And despite the cost, despite the consequences, despite the suffering that they might bring on themselves, they chose to follow God, period. Even in our time, even in our nation, there is a cost to being a Christian. From all possible angles, pressure is brought to bear upon those who love and obey the truth. Many of us know personal examples. Perhaps those have even occurred to us. It may be from employers. It may be rejection or separation from loved ones or from family members or from friends and colleagues, even sometimes from within our own church congregations. In many churches today, there are those who will not endure sound doctrine and who, after their own lust or the will of self, which we've talked about, heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Those who do count the cost and those who do take up their cross and follow Christ are often called legalists by other church members, and oftentimes they are mocked and they are whispered about behind their backs for being extremist or worse. They may well be excluded from various groups within the church. Christian men and Christian women are subjected to pressure both from the worldly in the local church and from the centers of influence in the brotherhood. It's either yield to the whims of man, oftentimes, or suffer the consequences, reputation, friendships, and in some cases, even jobs. In many cases, if the preacher does not want to get his support cut off and be evicted from the house he lives in, he must water down the mixture to please all people. We've often heard it said, and we've all probably seen examples of preachers who are forced to try to become all things to all men and must constantly strive to keep from offending one church sect or alienating another and making certain that yet another feels properly included. These are the challenges that a preacher faces. And lost among all this is the most vital, indispensable rationale for even doing what he is doing, and that is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, no more and no less. This type of scenario obviously cannot be compared to the stoning of Stephen or to the beatings that Paul endured, but it is far from the will of self. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. And again, numerous congregations, which were once rock solid and biblical, have been torn asunder and are now awash in error, swayed and controlled by the influences of this world. From 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, let every man prove his own work. And from Galatians 6:4, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Let us not yield to any influence, worldly or within the church, that would divert our loyalty to the truth. From Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men, and it was God and not man. From 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and this is a scripture that many churches, many preachers choose to ignore today. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Reproving and rebuking false teachers is suddenly considered taboo and something that we should not participate in. If as professed gospel followers, if we are the Christians that we claim to be and that we hold to the New Testament as our one and only source of our morality and our service to God, and we know, for example, that masonry or praying to Mary or baptism being optional or divorce and remarriage for any and every cause or indecent dress or infant baptism or the usage of instrumental music, we can think of dozens of other examples which are now adopted and celebrated by other denominations, sometimes even within the churches of Christ, yet we know that these are inconsistent with New Testament teaching. But we refuse to speak out against these things because of pressure or because of fear of what might befall us. When we do that, when we choose to ignore those challenges, we yield again to the will of self, and we fail to pay the price that is required of us as Christians. Tonight, all of our listeners, wherever you may be located, here is the question that you are being asked to consider. Are you willing to bear the full consequences of truth, or do you apologize when the truth disturbs the conscience of the guilty? Are you afraid the truth will be preached so plainly and with such force as to endanger or threaten your financial or your social or your political position or standing? Or are you among those who really, truly want others to know and accept the truth, regardless of the consequences incurred to you, but at the same time feel that it is best not to pinpoint sin, lest the guilty be offended? Truth has no apology to offer. The truth should be spoken kindly, but plainly. And until the wicked are aware of their wickedness and aware of their wicked ways, they will not be led to repentance. It becomes, and it is, our duty to speak the truth, but with the right attitude. Whether the listener obeys it or goes away and is a rage becomes his responsibility. Tonight, are you willing, truly willing, to pay that cost? Are you willing to suffer and experience loss or embarrassment or rejection? Are you willing to truly anger people simply to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and your allegiance to it, regardless of the consequences to you? Again, whether it be a matter of immoral conduct, adherence to unscriptural or non-biblical teachings, or missing the assembly to share the gospel with the lost, or yielding to doctrinal corruptness when we know the truth, or the refusal to minister to man's needs, either spiritual or physical, the will of self is often exalted above the will of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And tonight, for all of our listeners, for all of our co-hosts, look into your own heart and truthfully consider what is more important to you, your will or the will of your Holy Father. In closing tonight, I want to include a citation from the Beacon Bible Commentary on Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Quote, service for Christ and his kingdom must come first. If we do not put them above everything else, no matter how important, we cannot be his disciples. Once we put our hands to the plow in the master's field, there must be no looking back, end quote. And tonight, if you cannot with absolute certainty affirm that your service to God is unmatched by nothing else in this world and nothing else in your life, and that you have taken up your cross and abandoned all to follow him, tonight we ask you to reconsider that position and repent and become again, regain that zeal for Jesus Christ and putting Jesus Christ front and center as not just an important thing in your life, but the most important thing in your life. This concludes our lesson for this evening. I again want to extend our thanks and our gratitude for all of our listeners around the globe, wherever you may be. As always, Stevie and the Gospel Light welcome any comments, any questions, any points of discussion that any of our listeners have anywhere. You have numerous solid gospel men here who would love the opportunity to answer any questions and to dialogue with any of you and to help with anything that you may be experiencing or challenging right now. We always want our lessons here to be educational, to be beneficial, and to most of all be scriptural as well. So if there's ever anything that we can help any of our lessons with, please feel free to let us know. You can contact us through Facebook. You can contact us through email. You can certainly call. Anything that we can ever do for any of our listeners, we stand ready and prepared to do so. God bless each one of you, and thank you for being a part of our show tonight. Good night.
When God says no, and we won't insist to the end,
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows, what's best. When I lay awake at night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, God
he
knows, what's best. The midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer, and all my hopes gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him. When God says no, but when the preacher said it,
and
I didn't quite understand. He said,
don't forget,
just trust your Father, 'cause he knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows. Because he knows, Father knows,
what's best.
And I started to feel a little better, 'cause he started talking about my Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then he did just like me, y'all. Said and his friends let him down. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer, and God says no to you, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt,
I'll trust your
that the Father knows
hey,
more than you. When God says no, 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 no. See, isn't get the call.
And I never get the call.
And you prayed for that sick loved
one,
and they've gone on to that eternal
home.
And when you cried and you prayed and you cried and you feel there's nothing left, just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, He knows. Yes,
He knows.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. And for those who have been following us through Blog Talk Radio and also on Facebook Live, I want to thank my co-host Clay Phillips for his lesson, The Need for the Bible, and also my co-host Tim Bench for his lesson, The Cost of Being a Christian. Both lessons were good lessons, but we needed to hear lessons like this. We tried to keep it plain and simple for our listeners. There's really no need to talk over people's head, because we want you to be able to understand the simple proclamation of the gospel of Christ. We certainly appreciate our co-hosts for their efforts in presenting these lessons on the broadcast this evening. And also, ladies and gentlemen, it is our prayer that the lessons that were given on this radio show have been beneficial to your spiritual lives. We want to help somebody. We want to encourage you in your relationship with the Lord. It is our prayer that you've been strengthened through your, not only because you're tuning into this radio show, but because you've given yourself over to a study of God's word. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and I want to say on behalf of all of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light Radio Show, good night, everybody. God bless you.
Cool inside, so cool inside, don't you want to go where it's cool inside? Dum 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 dum.
As I walk through the pearly gates, my Savior Jesus at the gates away. The streets are beautiful and paved with gold. I'll get a mansion and never grow. Just a fiery place. You can imagine the look on the people's face. If you could see all the agony, yeah. Because there's no one will hear your begging plea. life is so much easier in heaven because it's cool, it's so cool. The streets are shining and pleasing to your eyes, built by none other than our God on high. Yeah, the skies are beautiful and they're clear as can be. There is no better place to be young and free. Hell is just a fiery old place. You can imagine the looks on the people's face. If you could see, you could see, you could see all the agony. Because there's no one to hear your begging plea. Once in eternity, you will always cry. When life is so much easier up in heaven. Oh, because it's cool. Yeah, yeah. Heaven is cool. I know it's cool. And I say to myself, yeah, I say to myself, heaven, a wonderful world, heaven, a wonderful world, oh yeah.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light radio show. Episode 165.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we came to lift you up, to encourage you, to open up the Word of God and stop leaning on your own understanding. Come on, committed. I need you. Don't you give up. That I'm going through right now.